Good evening, everybody. I hope y'all are doing well tonight. If y'all would like to turn, go ahead and turn to Revelation 3. Tonight I'm going to be talking about apathy, specifically apathy within the church or apathy among Christians. Not necessarily apathy in the world, but among ourselves. So first I'd like to define apathy. Apathy, to put it plainly, is a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of interest, or a lack of concern. It is inactivity or a state of indifference. So the word apathy isn't actually in the Bible, but I believe that it is can be a fairly common problem today in the modern day church. And I think there are some examples of what apathy looks like in the Bible that we can see. So I want to go ahead and say that apathy in a Christian's life is a problem, is not a good thing. And that might be apparent because the Word of God that we have, the New Testament, it is a law of action. It includes belief, repentance, having faith, helping others, worshiping God. These are all actions. It is a law of activity. You're doing things constantly. And having an apathetic attitude is an unhealthy thing for a Christian. So what makes apathy so dangerous for a Christian, in my opinion, personally, I deal a lot with this problem, so I'm speaking from experience, but one of the most dangerous things about this attitude is that it's very easy to get into, because it is an attitude of inactivity, but that's why it's so dangerous, because it's not actively doing bad, right? It's easy to creep into, easy to get settled into, and it's really hard to get out of. So we need to, the purpose of me speaking about this tonight is just to be on guard against apathy in our lives, in our spiritual lives especially, and helping others who are dealing with apathy in this as well. So I'd like to start in Revelation 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Like I said before, apathy isn't actually a word in the Bible, but I believe that there are some illustrations of what apathy looks like in the Bible. So, starting in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." So it is apparent here that the Laodiceans had lost their fire. They had lost their zeal or enthusiasm for God. And it's very clear that the Lord is condemning that here. And this is something that can be seen in an apathetic attitude in a Christian's life. So it may seem harmless. Again, it is inactivity. It's not actively doing wrong. But as we can see, the Lord here condemns it and commands them to repent. Another result of apathy that we can see in this example of the Laodiceans is that they don't recognize the condition that they're in. And that's something that happens with apathy as well, is that when you are an apathetic person or when you have an apathetic attitude about things, it's very hard to recognize it because it's a very subtle thing. So it's something to watch out for. I'm going to turn to Matthew 25. I think there are a couple pretty good examples of what apathy looks like in this chapter. Matthew 25. I'm going to start in verse 19. This is the parable of the servants that were given talents. Starting in verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think there are multiple lessons that we can apply from this parable, but specifically we see this inactivity, again, seeming harmless. He's not doing anything, but that's the problem. He's not doing anything with what he's been given. And the Lord condemns him for that, or the master in this parable condemns him for that. And later on in the same chapter, down to in verse 41, different scenario, but a similar lesson can be learned here. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So again, it is this inactivity. It's not, he doesn't specifically mention those who have murdered, those who have lied, those who have committed fornication. It's a sin of inactivity that we see here, that they're being punished for. And I think this demonstrates the severity of what apathy can be in a person's, in a Christian's life specifically. So, given that this apathetic attitude can be such a severe thing, what should we do to correct this attitude in our own lives if we have this attitude, or help somebody else who has this attitude? And that's what I'd like to address for the remainder of tonight's lesson. So the solution in this, in my opinion, it's not necessarily unique to apathy, but it is what I call a tried and true method, I suppose you could say. But first of all, it is spending being in the Word and spending quality time in the Word and devoted to prayer on one hand, and then on the other, the brethren encouraging and building up those who are apathetic. So, I was going to say, it's kind of hard to convince somebody who is an uncaring person that they should be caring, because then, you know, they don't care. So it's kind of hard to argue with somebody who's like that. So I think the most reliable way to address this is to spend adequate time in the Word of God. It's the best option because it has the power to transform us. It has the power to pierce our heart. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has more ability to convict us than a person will on their own. So it is critical, if you have an apathetic attitude or if you're trying to help somebody who has an apathetic attitude, for them, for the one who is apathetic, to spend adequate time in the Word of God. I think there are many places in the Bible that speak to how valuable the Word of God is, but I think the best way to put this is what Jesus quoted when confronted by Satan in the wilderness, by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," just as we sang in our last song. The Word of God for a Christian gives us spiritual life. It is critical for our salvation. So that's one of the areas that we can help the apathetic, or help ourselves if we are apathetic as well in our spiritual lives. On the other hand, we have prayer. And this is critical as well, because it is an exercise of faith in God. And when we shirk in our prayer lives, we're cutting out essentially half of our spiritual growth. And that's another thing about spending adequate time and quality time in the Word of God and our prayer lives, is that those are the two key things when it comes to spiritual growth. The apathetic are not spiritual growing. They're not actively seeking to grow in God. So these two key things will theoretically help an apathetic person to grow in God. I'm not sure if y'all remember, there's the kids' song I know that they used to sing in VBS, or at VBS, but I'm not sure if they still do it anymore. But it's the read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. It's the same principle. It's pretty simple, but it is so important for any Christian, but in this case, the apathetic Christian, in order to have that spiritual growth. And it's a good illustration as well when you think of our spiritual lives as a plant. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. But on the other hand, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink. It's the same principle. If we imagine our spiritual lives as a plant, it'll die if we neglect our spiritual nourishment through God's word and prayer. On the other hand, what I'd like to mention is how important it is for the brethren to build up and encourage those who are apathetic. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, I'm going to start in verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." In this case, we can put the apathetic Christian in the category of either the weak or the faint-hearted. And we should be helping those who are apathetic, or if we're apathetic ourselves, we should be going to help or go to others to seek help as well. It is so critical for each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help one another in our spiritual walk. And the reason, as I stated previously, having an apathetic attitude for a Christian is especially dangerous because it is in the heart. You can't really see it until it's too late from an outward look. It's something that is very difficult to spot. So that's why it's so dangerous and why it's important for us to look out for one another who could be apathetic, or ourselves being apathetic as well. So, just as a review, we established why apathy is such a difficult thing and such a, severe thing. Not only because it renders us unproductive, but because the Lord also condemns it. It is sinful to have an apathetic attitude. And it's very easy to get stuck in that, and very difficult to get out. Fortunately for us, the solutions are fairly simple as well. It is difficult to apply when you're stuck in a rut and in the habit of being apathetic about God and His Word. So that's why we should actively seek help if we are apathetic, or we have the solution right here, and also devoting ourselves to prayer. Excuse me. So, again, I'm not necessarily accusing anybody of being apathetic, but I know firsthand that it's a very easy thing to get into, and it's a pretty common problem, I feel like, in the modern-day church. So it should definitely be addressed, and the solutions are at our fingertips as well. So given that apathy is condemned by the Lord, if you feel like you have an apathetic attitude, or if you feel like it needs to be addressed, there's opportunity here tonight to do that. If there is an opportunity, if you wish, to come forward and repent of having an apathetic attitude, or if you need the prayers of the saints, you could request those too as we stand and sing.